Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
And this message is to everybody, especially those that are already born again. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's what the Apostle Paul asked to some believers in the town of Ephesus who had been saved. And Paul said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, that doesn't mean that they didn't have the Holy Ghost in them already, but he's talking about a greater measure of the Holy Spirit to empower you to live a life. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? These guys looked at Paul and said, whoa, we never heard about this. And then you read in Acts 19:6. So Paul, in verse 6, it says, and when Paul, after he told him, he asked them the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? I can remember as a young believer, a beloved pastor in Alabama, what a blessing he was. There is no love outside of God. The Bible says God is love, and the only place to find love is among the people of God. Doesn't matter what else they have. If they don't have God, they don't have love, and they're not happy. You know, a friend of mine and I were helping a young man one day afternoon, and he had been to, like, it was in Dallas. We were at a restaurant, and he came out of, like, I don't know if it was the basketball game or something like that, one of the sports things, and he had drank too much beer, and so he was on the ground, and he was trying to get joy. It doesn't come from beer, right? And he was on the ground just out of it, and the cops were getting ready to just arrest and put him in like a paddy wagon or something. And I talked to the cops. I said, you know, we're in the ministry. We want to help this young man. And anyway, we helped him for like 3 or 4 hours at least. Finally, when he started sobering up, because we had him drinking water, and he looked at us, and we did not say a word. Trust me, believe it or not, Chad and I, my Christian friend, we didn't say one word about Jesus yet to him, probably because we knew this guy can't even, he's so out of it. And so he looked at us, because we had helped him, you know, patiently for 3 or 4 hours, and he knew only Christians would do that. He looked at us and he said, you guys must be Christians. And the way he said it, that was years ago. I will never forget that, because he was basically saying, you would not do what you're doing. You would not love me in my mess right here unless you were a Christian. Without love, we're nothing. And Jesus said in John 13, he says, a new commandment, John 13:34, I give unto you that you love one another. So 13 times the Bible says, love one another. We're going to get back to the original point here in a minute, but listen, we're in the Word. That's all that matters. So love one another. I thought, wow, I love that. And then I looked it up 13 times in the New Testament, love one another. It's a command. That means everybody, and especially the body of Christ. So I went ahead and had a shirt made. I wear it to the gym all the time. And it says, love one another, Jesus, John chapter 13. You know, like this verse right here, love one another. And that's what's happening when we're loving God and being full of God. We're loving others. We're not loving ourselves. We already love ourselves. We don't have to try to love ourselves. It's innate. It's automatic. So our duty every day, including today, is to love God, to push our affection up to Him, to tell Him how much we love, we worship, and we thank Him. And then also that love is going to pour out of us to other people. So love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this, here it is, shall all men know, like that young man that I just told you about, by this, that's love in us, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. I remember a man when I was a young Christian, he was a minister. He said, you know what? Jesus didn't say, if you have love one for another. He says, if you have love one to another. And there's a big difference. I can tell you I love you. Have a good day while I've got money in my pocket and you don't have a penny. That's not love. That's hate. See, that's claiming to have love for somebody where you're not manifesting that love. And that's total hypocrisy. See, that's difference saying you have love for people. So when you have love one to another, you get the goods to the other person, like the Good Samaritan. And it's a great prayer every day to say, Lord, fill to every child of God, to say, Lord, fill me with your love, to love you and to love others, Jesus. And I like to read 1 Corinthians 13, and I keep reminding believers, including you guys, that it would be a great idea to read the love chapter. Does everybody know that 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter? So God wants us to have love. God is love, right? 1 John 4 says God is love. And you know, God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. And he gave the greatest gift. Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it's recorded, it is more blessed to give than to receive. God so loved the world that he gave his son. So the Father sent the Son so that we could be saved. And the Son sent the Holy Spirit so that we could be empowered. Because God gave his son, and his son gave us a mission. We call it the Great Commission. So in the Great Commission is that we would share the word of God like we're all doing together right now with other people. And so we have to have God's power to share and do God's work. And his work is to get the word into the hearts of others. Now think about when Jesus saved you. He sent somebody like Sister Terry or somebody else to give you the gospel. And that led to you saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I admit it. I'm honestly going to admit it. And Lord, I'm asking you to save me right now and wash me with your precious blood. And aren't you thankful today for the laborers Jesus sent into your life to lead you to him? I can remember as I talked recently to you guys about that beautiful, precious brother in Christ who in Marine Corps boot camp kept dropping the bomb of the Word of God in my lost soul. In my heart, I was Catholic, I wasn't a Christian, and he kept dropping the scriptures in on me, and God used that to lead me ultimately to himself. I had religion, I didn't have relationship, and these people that God kept sending into my life, they had something good that I didn't have. They were a temple of the Holy Spirit, and they had love, joy, and peace. I was a temple of sin and Satan, and I had no peace, love, or joy. Como se dice, the devil is a liar and a loser. Jesucristo es el rey, see? Jesus came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. Jesus said, Satan is a loser, a liar, a murderer who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy your life. And if you die today in your sins without being forgiven, you're going to eternal damnation to burn irrevocably. God is not willing that any should perish. He sent his only begotten son to save every one of us. And if you're not born again, today is your day to be saved. Today is your day to let Jesus do exactly what he came to do, and that's wash away all of your sins in his precious blood. The precious blood of Jesus Christ was shed to wash away all of your sins, to give you a new life in him and with his body. If you can hear my voice, God wants you to know that he loves you. To every believer that's listening to me right now, God would ask you, have you received the Holy Ghost? That means the full measure, the filling of the Holy Spirit since you've been saved. So in Ephesus, in this passage we started reading, the believers, those that were already saved, said they didn't know what it meant to be to receive the Holy Ghost. And Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. It's like having a glass that's only half full of water, but desiring to have a glass that's full of water. Jesus said in Acts 1:8 that you shall receive power, he told his own people, after, not before, but after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then he said, and you shall be witnesses. So we have to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit to receive the divine power of God to be the witnesses for Christ. We cannot possibly do the work of God in the flesh. We must be empowered by God to do the work of God. John the Baptist had foretold that Jesus shall baptize, that means to immerse, to endue you with his power. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And that's Matthew 3:11. So that's kind of in sequence. And then the next thing, Jesus said, it is better, it's expedient or better for you that I go away. In other words, Jesus was on earth when he said this. He was getting ready to die, to be buried and raised again from the dead and send the Holy Spirit into each one of his people. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he was going to send the Holy Spirit to live in every one of his people. During his post-resurrection ministry, Jesus told his apostles to wait in the city of Jerusalem, to go get together over there and wait until ye be endued, that means clothed upon, with power from on high. The three foundational experiences of every believer and of the New Testament program go as such. Number one, you have to be saved. Number two, water baptism. And number three, the baptism with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, as was the case with Paul, people get filled with the Spirit before they get water baptized. But remember, to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you must first be washed in the blood of Jesus. You must be saved. You're washed in the blood first, and then you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Leviticus 14, the priest would first apply the blood and then the oil. And that was a picture of salvation to come, where you first born again. If you are born again, be it known to you today that on the authority of the Word of God, God wants to fill you with his Spirit. Jesus told his own 12 not to go try to minister until they were first filled with the Holy Spirit. God never changes, and there are people who are trying to do the work of God without being filled with the power of God. If Jesus told his own apostles that they were not ready to minister until he filled them, well, that's the same pattern that we must follow. We must realize that we have to have, as children of God, we must have the power of God to do the work of God. Jesus told those that were already his that they had to wait till they were baptized in the Spirit, so they received the power of God to do the work of God. So Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, had the Spirit poured down on him. At the end of Acts 2, we see him preaching to the people, and he said, quote, repent and be baptized, that's in water, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So that's the three foundational experiences of the believer that God brings us into. That's repentance and salvation in the blood for the remission of sins, water baptism, and then the gift of the Holy Spirit. Salvation, water baptism, the filling of the Spirit. So if you are saved today, God wants you to be filled with his Spirit. He wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. So we're going to pray for all who are willing here in just a moment that are already saved to be filled with the Spirit. Now, for the next moment or two, 60 seconds or so, I want to talk to those who are not sure they're saved. I know we're running out of time. To those who are not 100% sure that they're going to go to heaven if they die today, I want to speak to you and tell you that Jesus loves you and that he shed his blood on that cross for your sins. And I want to ask you if you're ready today to say, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner and I want you to wash away all my sins. I want to be in your family. Raise your hand right now if you're not 100% sure that you are a child of God, because I want to pray for you today. I love you. Jesus loves you, and he's going to save you right now. I want you to bow your head. We're going to pray together. You are going to pray to God. I'm simply going to lead you in a prayer. God is going to hear your prayer. He guarantees that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I am going to pray with you, and I want you to repeat these words out loud to the Lord with everything that is in you. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now. As a sinner, I am fully guilty of breaking your holy law. But Lord, I know you sent your Son to forgive my sins and to give me a new life. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe and know that you came and died for my sins and were buried and raised again from the dead to save me. Lord Jesus, take my life from this moment on. Come and make your home in me. Wash away all of my sins in your precious blood. Right this moment, I make the announcement that from this moment forward, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, Jesus, right now. Now fill me with the Holy Ghost and use me, Lord, powerfully. Thank you for saving me this 25th day of February, 2024. Now, with show of hands raised or clapped, let's give God some glory today. Jesucristo es el único camino a Dios. Amen. And every believer that is already saved, I know you ask God to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And he's going to give you power now to be his witness. What a blessing. We'll get some of them on the way down there on the 10 top things to know and to do as a new believer. We love you. We pray for you. Bye-bye.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.